In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we have the victory. Oh, it's in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, demons will have to flee. Oh, tell me who can stand before us when we call on His great name. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, we have the victory. Oh, yes, it's in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we have the victory. Oh, it's in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, demons will have to flee. Oh, yes, tell me who can stand before us when we call on God's great name. Oh, it's Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, we have the victory. Hallelujah. Praise God, praise God. Amen. I'm sorry for asking. I don't know what's going on tonight, but I guess it's a rest night or something. I'm sorry for asking you to stand again, but can you stand while we greet Brother Andre? Amen. Come and bring us the word of the Lord, Brother Andre. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Praise the Lord. I'm not going to keep you long. I just got a couple of scriptures I want to read to you. I mean, I would like for you to read with me. Amen. They are helping me preach, whoever that is. Turning your Bibles to 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. And it says, my little children, these things I write unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And also turning to 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 17, for the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be for them that obey not the gospel of God? Amen. And my third verse would be 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 31. For if we judge ourselves, we should not be judged. Would you pray with me? Thank you, Jesus, for your word. Lord, I ask you this night, oh Lord Jesus, to give me the words to say, lead and guide me, oh Lord, to everyone within the sound of my voice, oh Lord, that your word find its mark, oh Lord Jesus, to those who are here this night. In Jesus' name, thank you. You may be seated. My topic for tonight is our day in court. Because judgment, I picked this topic because judgment is real. There will be a day of judgment. There will be a day of reckoning. And the Bible says we all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Then if that's true, then we need an advocate that's going to help us to be ready. To be ready to stand in judgment. I'm reminded of the story was when I was in the Navy. My first year in the Navy, I had to go to advanced electronics school to learn electronics. And there was another young man in my class who had to take a leave of absence. And then weeks later, he came back. He was in a couple of classes behind me, and we was like, that don't seem right. Usually when you when you get, you wash out or you leave electronic school, you don't come back. Either you go straight to the fleet with no job, or you leave the Navy. You didn't make it through the school. But somehow he was back in our class, and he told us that he had to testify in court. Prior to him joining the Navy, he witnessed a murder. He witnessed an egregious crime. He was an eyewitness to it, and his lawyer told him, well, go ahead and go in the Navy. That'll be your witness protection. Nobody will know who you were. Nobody will know where you were. You're in the Navy, okay? And the Navy protected him until his day to become a witness to this act. And he told us how he was questioned while he was on the stand, whether or not he saw what he said he saw and everything. But he also mentioned how his lawyer prepared him for making that testimony. His lawyer prepared him to take the stand. And as I read the Bible, I realize that a lot of the New Testament has words or phrases and scriptures that prepare us for something, much like what a lawyer would do for his client. And then it was revealed to me that how much of another revelation of Jesus, there was a revelation of Jesus, but there was only one God, amen? But another revelation of who he is, how he is an advocate, and what an advocate does for his client, and also what the church does. Two important services that the church provides is one, witness preparation to prepare us, and we'll talk about that, and witness protection. If you remember, Brother Rump was here. He was talking about the Ark of Safety. The church is one of the safest places you can be. The pastor, his job is to help you to present your case or to help you to prepare yourself and present your evidence or testimony so that his boss, the chief shepherd, can present you or your case wholly without blemish to a judge and win your case. And just as a good lawyer prepares his client to stand trial, so does our pastor help us to stand one day in the day of adversity. Many times I have heard pastor come up here and say, I have to preach to you the word. I'm going to teach the word of God because he is preparing us. He is preparing us to stick to the word. To that way we might answer according to the word of God, to rightly divide the word of truth, the word of truth. As I read the Bible, I see how the Bible sounds like, many verses in the New Testament sound like a lawyer getting his client ready. Oh, we're going to have our day in court. We are going to have our day. Trust me. It is something to look forward to. But there are certain words, and maybe you've heard some of them, certain buzzwords that kind of stick out to me. I hope they do to you. Judgment. Advocate. Accuser or adversary. Witness. Evidence. Proof. Defense. And testimony. All of those words are in the Bible. All of those words surround litigation, going into court, testifying in court. And there are many scriptures that do that. Another one is intercessor. In Hebrews 7, verse 25, it says, wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing that he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Another one is for accuser. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accuses them before God day and night. Matthew 5:25 says, agree with your adversary quickly while thou art in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver you to the judge, and the judge deliver you to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. A similar verse in Luke chapter 12, verse 58 in New King James Version, for clarity. When you go with your adversary to the magistrate, make every effort along the way to settle with him, lest he drag you to the judge deliver you to the officer, and the officer throw you into prison. I don't know about you, but that sounds like a lawyer trying to get their client ready. You need to settle before you get to the judge. Have anybody ever had parking tickets before and had to go to see the magistrate, had to go before a traffic court? There's a person who meets you before that happens and say, hey, can you settle this now? Can we settle this now? Do you have your driver's license and insurance and registration right now? Let's get this before you go in to see the judge. So they're preparing you. By God's amazing grace, prepares us. We have time to settle things before that day come, before it's too late. His grace is amazing. I like to say how his grace gives all the runaways a chance to get home, come home. All those who are sick, a chance to go to the hospital and get a checkup. All the criminals, a time to turn themselves in, and it is time to settle. Because the accuser, the adversary, he has a legitimate gripe against us, against you and me. Why? Because we have flesh. We've done some things. We want to settle. Or repent before we come into judgment. Amen? What used to go on before doesn't go on anymore. Amen? Proverbs. Proverbs is another book just talking about being prepared for that day that you might have to give account. Specifically, it talks about what an honest witness is and a false witness is. I know it directs, directs his speech a lot toward young men, but it's for everyone. Solomon, in his wisdom, he had to know. For example, in Proverbs 14:5, it says, a faithful witness will not lie, but a false witness utter lies. Proverbs 21:28, a false witness shall perish, but he that heareth speaketh constantly. Amen. Many scriptures in Proverbs talk about a good witness and a bad witness. Our pastor, our Lord and Savior, our advocate is preparing us to be a witness. He told the same thing to his disciples in Luke chapter 24. Then he opened their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead, and that rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among the nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. We are witnesses. Whether you want to believe it or not, you are a witness. And you are in the right place. I'm glad you're here. Because you are sitting right in the middle of the witness protection program. You are in the safest place you can be. I'm sure you've seen it before, maybe movies or heard about it before. You're in the witness protection program. You can't go back to your former life. That's like rule number one. You cannot do that. You can't participate in any of those activities no more. There are certain friends you can't hang out with anymore. Sometimes they take you and your whole family. Be ye saved, you and your household, in this witness protection program. Call them in, bring them in, tell somebody that's what we're doing here. I talked to the students at Job Corps, and I sat down at the lunch table with them. Which one of you is the next preacher? A couple of them point the finger. Okay, forget preacher. How about just a messenger? You know, our pastor always talks about he delivers the mail. Who wants to be one of God's messengers? No. Okay, forget messenger. How about just a witness? How about just being a witness? You believe God is good, right? You believe God is good. How about you just be a witness to that? You believe Jesus Christ died for our sins, laid his life down for us, or he was actually murdered? Which one is it? Oh, well, he died for our sins. You want to be a witness for that? Would you mind standing up and putting your hand on the good book and swearing to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth by the grace of God? Think you can be willing to do that? Well, yeah, Bible study started 6. Bible study started 6, so talk on Thursday. Bible study started 7 and Wednesday night at our church. But you wanna be a witness to that. Because that's what the church is a witness protection program. I know y'all got this no snitch thing going on. So the church will protect you. The church will protect you. And you don't know what to say once you get on the stand. Guess what? Bible study, studying his word, prayer, and our Lord Jesus Christ will give you what to say. He will actually tell you what to say. Just like a lawyer is preparing his witness to take that stand, God will prepare you. He will give you what to say. And we're going to talk about that. But also another thing in the Bible that really hit my mind about a court trial and just our testimony and what goes on is in court, the word evidence. And no message will be complete with evidence without Hebrews chapter 11, which says, could you read it with me? Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. One day we may have to testify to that evidence. Amen. Please do it by faith. Amen. The witness preparation. Timothy, a young minister in the New Testament. Paul had developed Timothy to be a faithful minister, a faithful witness as well. If you read the language, the way Paul talked to Timothy, it seems like a really good attorney preparing his client to take the stand. For example, in 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 5, I exhort thee that first of all, supplication, prayer, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Jesus Christ. Note the language there. Supplications and thanks and intercession be made of all men, that we may lead quiet and peaceable life in godliness and honesty. That's a person in a witness protection program. They're going to lay low. Again, not going back, not drawing unnecessary attention to themselves. They're preparing for their day in court. Oh, we're going to have our day in court. Yes. Paul wanted Timothy to be a model citizen and with respect to all of those who are in authority, to live a quiet and peaceable life, because one day Timothy would have to give an answer for something. Amen? In Colossians chapter 4, verses 5 through 6 in the New King James Version, Paul urges, walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. Let your speech always be with grace and seasoned with salt, that you might know how to answer each one. Again, having proper behavior toward those outside. That's a witness in itself, so that we might know how to answer. Again, Paul is preparing someone to be a witness. Paul is preparing the church. Please, look how you watch. Look how you walk. Watch what you say. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, also in the New King James. But sanctify the Lord in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to anyone, to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you, with meekness and in fear. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, 1 through 3, do we begin again to commend ourselves? Or do we need, as some others, epistles of commendation to your letters of commendation from you? You are our epistle, written on our hearts, known and read by all men. Clearly you are an epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but in tablets of flesh, that is, of the heart. Paul is saying here that the Corinthians, the church of the Corinthians, was their documented proof, was their proof that they were ministers of the gospel of peace. That they believed in Jesus without seeing him, having known him, they believed with all their hearts and were filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen? And so Paul said that the law is also written on their hearts. That's documented evidence. That was documented evidence for the early church, to so many saints and so many people who had come to God and submitted to him, including the Corinthians. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. Oh, I'm sorry. John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all may know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Again, that's evidence. The second service that I talked to you about, what the church performs, that's not the only service, but the second one is witness protection. The practical instructions given in the New Testament, sometimes even preached from this pulpit, help to protect our witness. I'm called to my brother Tim Gaddy at our last district conference, talked about what God says about me, what God says to me, and what God says through me. What he says through me, meaning I cannot abandon my witness. So our pastor and many of the speakers he have here that come behind this pulpit to preach to you, to teach to you, are helping you to prepare and maintain your witness, because we may have to give an answer. In Philippians, it says, only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ. This is Philippians 1:27 in the New King James. Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Ephesians 4:1 says, as a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. That's someone telling another one about, yeah, you're in the witness protection program. You got to live a right life now. All right? You have to live a life worthy of a citizen, of a good witness, of someone who is going to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, and your life should say so. Amen? Right. Either he's Lord of all, as pastors say, or he's not Lord at all. Amen? Amen? Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. That's pretty clear there. Proverbs 19:20, hear counsel and receive instruction, that thou mayest be wise in the latter end. Wow. You think Solomon knew. And also Proverbs 27:11, my son, be wise and make my heart glad. that I might answer him that reproaches me or questions me. By all means, give our advocate and our pastor something to work with. Okay? I imagine some lawyers go through a dilemma who they're going to put on the stand. Or should I put this person on the stand? Is he going to make the case or not? They have to go through that, and they're working only in human standards or working with humans only and humanity only. But we have the Spirit of God, amen? And we're going to go on the stand. We're going to have our day in court. Judgment is real, so our preparation has to be just as real. 2 Timothy 2:25 says, in meekness and instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance, acknowledgement of the truth. Remember, your adversary / accuser has a point, has a legitimate gripe, or has a legitimate complaint against us. But Jesus says in Matthew 5:37, but let your yes be yes, and your no be no. For whatever is more than these come from evil one. Come from the evil one. Now, I'm sure many of you have probably been in this situation where you're talking to someone, you're witnessing to someone, and they say, well, haven't you done so-and-so before? Didn't you used to do so-and-so when you were younger? Didn't you used to do so-and-so when you were my age? Let your yes be yes and your no be no. Well, can you imagine getting on the stand? The lawyer will try to trip you up. The lawyer will try to trip that person up over something in their past. But remember, we have an advocate with the Father. He'll be right there. Objection! Objection! Argumentative! Objection! Badgering the witness. Our advocates, objection! He has pled the blood of Jesus. He repented and was baptized in the name of Jesus. Right. I vouch for him. Amen. He took an oath to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And his testimony says he's been covered by the blood of the Lamb. Amen? Right. Amen? Amen? I know you may like to talk a lot or explain things enough, but just let your yes be yes and your no be no. You have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. He will not let you be railroaded. You or I to be railroaded. Oh, we're going to have our day in court. We're going to have our day in court, and we're going to testify of all the goodness of God. We're going to testify that this world is full of darkness. We're going to testify that he loves us. We're going to testify that he laid his life down for us. We're going to testify that we have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Amen? In 2 Corinthians 9:13, while though the proof of this ministry, they glorify God for their obedience of your confession to the gospel of Christ and for your liberal sharing with them and all men. Paul is calling that the ministry again in the Corinthians proof of the gospel because they were faithful. And specifically here, they were faithful in their giving. Luke 21:15, what Jesus promised. He was telling the disciples about the end times. And he told them not to be anxious about what they were going to say. And in 21:15, he says, for I will give you a mouth of wisdom, which all your adversaries will not be able to contradict or resist. Amen? That's preparing. That is preparing you for a day. He's going to actually give you what to say. Amen? I'm reminded of the many times pastor comes up here before he preaches or teaches. He'll say, Jesus, put words in my mouth. Tell me what to say. Amen? My pastor. David said in Psalms 119:46, I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings and will not be ashamed. And one of my favorite scriptures, Revelation 12:11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved out their lives unto death. Amen? We have a powerful testimony and the precious blood of Jesus. Sometimes we have testimony services. And I understand that sometimes your testimony hasn't been written yet. But you have a powerful testimony. Some of us have the same similar testimonies where he rescued us, redeemed us from some of the same things. But it is a testimony to the goodness of God. It is a testimony to the mercy of God. It is a testimony to the love of God. And we may be called to count to give that testimony. It may be on the stand or just while we're alone sometimes in our car, in our rooms, in our homes. We may have to just remind ourselves with that testimony. Please encourage one another. Your testimony is valuable. We're going to have our day in court. We're going to have a day in court for that testimony. I have some questions for you to consider. A couple of statements to consider. Do not commit perjury or do anything that might damage your testimony. Amen? By all means, give our advocates something to work with. Be as faithful as you possibly can. Cooperate with your pastor. I know I'm talking to the Wednesday night faithful. Please, you are in the witness protection program. Our pastor, he has to give account for us. That's his charge. He is a guardian of our soul. And he doesn't want to do it grievously. He wants to give account for you with joy. Please give him something to work with. Is my manner of life worth advocating for? Is the way I live worth someone fighting for? Would he be making a mistake by putting me on the stand? Did my lawyer make a mistake by representing me? Did my advocate make the mistake by taking my case in the first place? Is my advocate, my defense advocate, ashamed of his client? Jesus said, if anyone who is ashamed of me, I also will be ashamed of you. It is a serious life we live. Again, we're here in the ark of safety. He's going to get us ready. Amen? Did I do all I can to prepare myself and others for cross-examination? Amen? Your testimony. Another thing David said was, thy testimonies are my delight. They are my counselors. Amen? A counselor is also an advocate, a lawyer, an attorney. We took the stand because we were under wise counsel. Amen? Our wise counsel prepared us to be a witness, a faithful witness, an honest witness, a reliable and credible witness. Anybody here like that? Anybody want to be a credible witness? Amen. A legit witness unto the glory of God, unto the goodness of God. Thank you, Jesus. I'm in the right place. Was I careful to observe all the things that I did and said? I said that I watched so that they would not damage or ruin my testimony. I will say that one again. Was I careful to observe the things that I did and said and that I watched so that they would not damage or ruin my testimony? Amen. Paul was constantly giving instructions to Timothy on how he behaved in front for all men, that we may live peaceably with all men, that we may command the respect of outsiders. Why? Because we have a testimony. Why? Because we need to be a credible witness. Amen? If you need more evidence, you don't know exactly, you just don't feel it, you're just not feeling that you should be worthy enough to take the stand, then look at the examples, different examples in the Bible. Consider Job. and everything he went through, yet he still called on God. Consider David, everything he went through, yet he still said, I will be confident. In thee, I will be confident. Consider Paul. He had a thorn in his flesh or some type of spirit of harassment over him. And he sought God three times on the matter. And the answer he got was, my grace is sufficient for you. That's evidence, and that's proof that there's a relationship. There was a relationship, a positive relationship between Paul and our Lord Jesus Christ, between Job and God. Amen. Between David and God. Israel/Jacob. Jacob had many troubles, but Israel walked in victory. But they were the same guy. Ruth, can you imagine? Ruth and Naomi. Ruth lost her. Naomi, let's start with Naomi. Naomi lost her husband and her two sons. Now, back in that culture, that was a financial ruin. That was devastating. Thank you. That had to be horrible for them. But she still wanted to go back to her people Israel. She still wanted to go back to where they worshiped the God of gods. She still wanted to go back to him who gave them food in the wilderness and water when there was no water. She still wanted to go back there. She had a relationship with him. And I believe Ruth knew about that relationship. Ruth saw the evidence of the relationship that she had with the one and only living God. In Ruth 1:16, she said, entreat me not to leave you or turn back from following after you. For wherever you go, I will go. And wherever you lodge, I will lodge. And your people shall be my people, and your God shall be my God. She had evidence. She had proof that there was a relationship with God that she could not ignore. Amen? Amen. Does anybody want to have a relationship with that one and only God in the name of Jesus? That will see you through any trial. That will see you through any adversarial condition. That will see you through any trouble. That will help you be with you when you stand and take the stand. Amen. Would you stand with me now? Lord Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for this opportunity. We thank you for this chance, oh Lord Jesus, to take the stand in your name. We thank you for the truth, oh Lord Jesus, that you have put in our hearts and the confidence that you will be with us always. We thank you, Lord. Lord, we lay down every weight and sin, oh Lord Jesus, that may be clinging to us, oh Lord Jesus, that we may take the stand, oh Lord Jesus, with confidence. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for all that you've done. Thank you, Jesus, for being with us. Thank you for your preparation. In Jesus' name, amen.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Amen. There's this old song that says, our record will be there, be its pages dark or fair, when I stand before that judgment bar, when the book shall open wide in that morning by and by, oh my record, it will be there. Amen. You're not just gonna stand. Sister Jerry had actually mentioned to me the other day about standing in judgment. And she was asking me really a question about, are we all going to stand before that Revelation 20 judgment seat? Because when you read that, it looks like it's all inclusive, right? But I asked her a question back. I said, well, Sister Jerry, at that point, don't you think we would be raptured by then? Be raptured by then, right? So Revelation chapter 20, if you don't know what I'm talking about, go read Revelation 20. But that great white throne judgment, if you've already been raptured and taken and you've been caught away to heaven, why would God bring you back to stand before the great white throne of judgment? No, we stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Amen. And that verse, I'm just going to issue one correction. Brother Andre's my real good friend, so he's okay with this. But you read Revelation 12:11, right? Which says, "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death." The verse before that says, "And I heard a loud voice in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night." That means right now at this point, the devil is, I should say, in vain trying to accuse you before our God day and night. You wake up in the morning thinking, "This is just another day." The devil's already awake accusing you before God. And you know what the answer is from God? You have no claim against him. You have no claim against him. Amen? You can't make a claim against a blood-bought, blood-covered child of God. Because the last I checked, God said, "His sins and his iniquities will I remember no more." The devil may try to make a claim against us, but because you're covered with the blood and bought with a price, God says, "Get out of my presence." Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. God is so good. And that was awesome, man. Thank you. Praise the Lord. You will go through trials on this earth. You will. Amen. Be ready. Praise the Lord. Let's pray one more time. Jesus, thank you, Lord God, for your presence, your goodness. Thank you for the word, Lord, that came forth tonight. God, I ask you, Lord Jesus, to bless us in this house. Lord God, bless our homes, our families, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord God, that you are our advocate and our high priest, Lord Jesus. Lord God, you are both God and man, Lord Jesus. And we thank you, Lord God, that you laid down our life for us. Lord, your life for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you so much for coming. God bless you. Amen. Again, Wednesday next week. That is, I believe, the 16th. I always say the dates wrong, so no. The 9th. I'll tell you what happened. I actually requested the wrong days off. And I kept saying, the 16th. The 9th is the day that we will not be having service here. There's going to be service in Hartford at the Pentecostals of Greater Hartford. Amen. We should all, don't just take the day off of church. Come and support the district. It's really good to see all the people that you know from the district, you've seen in different times. And if you need a ride, let somebody know, and let's get there next week. Amen. And have a good time. Praise the Lord. Amen. Pastor will be back Sunday. Keep him in your prayers. You're dismissed in Jesus' name.